Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 172. Slightly even more abbreviated because Dave is running late. So, small crew. This might be a quick one because I do have a hockey game I really want to watch. Although you guys listening probably already know whether I want to watch it or not, but that's okay. But I'm Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Pat.
Adam.
So, I've been a little distracted lately.
Because I got pirate-like, too.
Arr.
Yeah.
You said that last time.
Well, okay. Because you're drawing out your R.
Okay, I'll stop that. I'm sorry. But about 2 weeks before Free Comic Book Day, I got a little letter in the mail that blew me away. It was
you are not the father.
No, trust me. The kids are mine. But I got a letter. I go to the mailbox, and in there is a letter, a big envelope from San Diego Comic-Con. And I'm like, why am I getting a letter from San Diego Comic-Con? I'm not going. I open it up, and one of you fine listeners or customers has nominated me for the Will Eisner Spirit of Retailing Award. So, which is awesome. It's something that I've always wanted. It's something I've always strived for. Basically, it just says I'm a really good retailer. And now I kind of have to prove it to the board in San Diego.
That's so, the tough part.
Well, it is. It's tough in doing... I don't know, because I think the one thing I'm trying to express mostly, because what I have to do is I have to, prove it. I have to send them pictures. We had to make a little five-minute video. I have to send them lots of stuff, telling them what I do and backing it up with documentation, which is really hard to do, because the main thing that I think I do here is just create a really good atmosphere, and that's very hard to document. So I try to document some of the things that I do, but it's been very tough, and so I've been over the last... Well, I pretty much didn't do anything before Free Comic Book Day. So since Free Comic Book Day, I've been working on this for about the last 2 weeks or so, trying to come up with, answer to their questions and the little points that they want me to make. I have to mail it out tomorrow and overnight it tomorrow to them because I waited so long. But, today was a little tough as I'm trying to think of stuff to do. I spent my first hour here retaking photographs and... Of course, the previews came, which is four huge boxes that I had to keep moving out of the way of my pictures and stuff like that. So it is truly an honor to be nominated. Whoever did it, thank you so much. I doubt I'll win. I very much believe I won't, just because there's certain things I can't do that... No. 20% of the score is based on community outreach, and I really don't do a lot. And it's... A lot of stuff like they want you working with libraries and schools and, giving talks and things like that I just really don't have the time
to do. You're an army
do.
Of one. It's kind of hard
and that,
to do.
That's one of the things I put in there. I said, is basically, I know I'm lacking on this part, but it's not through lack of effort because I have contacted all the local schools and libraries to do things with them, and I've gotten a great big in response. So I don't know what to do in that sense. And, I feel like I've tried to go out and do what I can. Great. And sorry, somebody waving to me from the window. I do what I can. So I basically gone and listed everything that I think I can do. And so now I'm in the process of finalizing all my paperwork, and I'm going to have to overnight that tomorrow. So, yeah, it's been a little distracting lately.
One thing you do is you do a lot of donations and stuff. Too.
Yeah, but that's hard to I can't document it. That's my problem. I can tell them, one thing I said, I do donate gift certificates to every.
Even the library has come by.
And to every group. But again, I might have a piece of paper with it somewhere, but it's not like.
Yeah.
I have it fresh, and you're needing to find it within 2 weeks. And one of the things was like I have to prove that I went to a Diamond Summit in 2006. Well, I have no way to do that.
The really weird thing, but the IRS doesn't even require you to keep.
Well, it's
stuff
not that
back.
They require. It's just this prevents people from just saying, "Yeah, I did this, and this" with no proof.
Well,
and I totally get that. But it's not like I'm trying to say that I do incredible things.
Right.
I just do a lot of little things.
But if they said, if you've gone to the Diamond Summit every year, in the last 7 years, you have to keep those records anyway for tax purposes. That's reasonable. You would have that somewhere.
It's like I said that I've been to the last 4 years worth of Comics Pro meetings. Because one of the things is, how do you keep yourself informed? What do you do? Things, which I also answered as a little bit tough, because, you know, it's like, what publications do you read and stuff like that? I'm like, well, sadly, most of it's online now. You know, looking at comic book research, looking at Newsarama.
Yeah.
And I can't document that. You know, yeah, there's no way to document that. There's no really publications. I don't do, and like, I, you know, ask what kind of trade shows, what kind of seminars you go to. I'm like, well, I really don't go to business-related ones, because I think this business is rather unique, and I don't know if standard...
It's hard for you to do a lot of that stuff anyways, because running...
Like, yeah, like keeping the store running is pretty much...
You,
well, it is a full-time job.
Store, yeah.
But yeah,
it's
so...
It's more than a full-time, really, because you go over that through weekends and stuff like that, so finding, like, that free time in order to
yeah,
do that.
I mean, as you yeah. guys know, I rarely even find time to read. Yeah, as I'm looking, and I read one... Well, it's actually two whole books this week.
But it's important, too.
Yeah. Which isn't quite true. I've read, and I read some stuff from today, but... So that's really cool, and I'm going to go to San Diego because I feel, you know, I might as well, you know, just in case.
Yeah.
I'd hate to win it and not be there. You know. So,
well, how do you get in since...
I can get in through Diamond. I can get a free pass, and I'm guessing if I'm nominated, you know, if I turn this stuff in, they'd let me in. So now it's just a case of getting their flight, airplane and hotel and all that.
That's coming up.
The award ceremony is July 10th. And I think the show starts on the 7th. So, and the weird thing is, I have to be there on a Wednesday. I don't have to. You good?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, but, well, why don't we, while Colin's helping out, why don't we jump into your news?
The news, okay. I'll skip the first thing because I want Colin to talk about this.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So, last week, I you know, talked a little bit about how Marvel had edited some T-shirts to take out
the Secret Wars cover.
Yeah. Well, apparently there are, in fact, unedited versions out there, which actually, to me, raises a bigger question than why make the effort. If it's not a finger to Fox and, to Fox, why do it?
Is it a majority thing? Like, a majority of them are changed, like... And there's a small amount out there that have...
That's my guess. But then something else that I read this week was that a company called XM, they make statues, and apparently they had this really cool... It was a Sentinel versus Colossus diorama.
Uh-huh.
It had gone through approval, and it was getting ready to, you know, to go. And then Marvel sent them a cease and desist. It's not coming out. And then someone had suggested, well, why don't you do a Galactus one or something, you know, something like that. And they responded, yeah, we can't do that either. Fantastic Four is part of this embargo. So as much as they deny that that's what they're doing, it absolutely seems like that's what they're doing.
There was a guy I know online, and once in a while he'll come into here, but not all the time. He does a lot of art at the cons and stuff. He was pretty well stating his mind on this of how, like, he's disgusted by it almost because it just doesn't seem right. Like, the whole idea, like, you get in one way why, but it's, like, this much of it you understand, like, that you understand and, you know, accept.
One, it seems petty.
Yeah.
And two, it, in my mind, not that I'm a lawyer, if I'm paying Marvel... to be a license holder to make something.
Yes.
I had to pay them some amount of money based on the number of characters I would be able to use and all that.
Yeah.
And now when they're saying, you know, you're limited or you can't do this, to me, that's a breach of contract.
Yeah, and that's basically what he was saying, too. And it just, and it seems like, and I've said this before, it seems like you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. Like, because having... the book
Marvel?
Out at the same time.
Like Perlmutter?
I'm doesn't
sorry.
Like,
just having read that book
yeah.
about the bankruptcy.
Yeah. It just the whole thing doesn't it doesn't make any sense to me. Not having a book out as well, depending on what they go and do. While this does, because frankly, seeing the latest previews of the Fantastic Four movie haven't looked that bad, actually. And I'm gonna go see it.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
It just, to me, it isn't the Fantastic Four.
I just don't know enough yet to, like, until I go really and see it, I don't want to totally say it isn't, because I know some things have to, like, change to modernize and feel more interesting to newer audiences and stuff like that.
There was just nothing that grabbed me and said, oh my, you know, this is going to be good, you need to be, you know, first one in line to get...
Yeah.
There was
nothing like that, but I don't think it looks horrible enough to cancel, to not have their books on the shelf and pull merchandise in and stuff.
Because in
that case, if this movie does all right, and people come into the store like they're always thinking they're going to do, and want to buy their book, it's not going to be on the shelf.
Right.
It's gone. So, like, now let's take it the other way. Movie does bad. They still have a book on the shelf. It still doesn't hurt them.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it's not going to hurt their sales.
One of the things is, I think they made a big deal of canceling it, but basically all their books are getting canceled right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or at least they're ending or being replaced or something.
Yeah.
So they could have done that and just had the Fantastic Four be interrupted. They decided to make a big deal of it ending. So.
Well, and I get that too. You know, renumber the book because they like big numbers.
Chances are, I have a feeling that it might not exactly.
Dave! You didn't have to rush here.
I'm fine.
Dave's here.
Dave's
we started
here,
a little earlier because, you know, hockey. And Dave
Colin
mentioned he was running late. No, I just don't want
to
miss the whole game. No, you can see.
But how this event is going right now, it's very Fantastic Four.
Center.
And then it just... You don't know what's going to happen after this. Like, if Bendis is...
That's true.
We know Bendis is leaving X-Men. They might just be telling us this to make the impact of the end of the book more interesting. Then again, it might be one of these things where the Fantastic Four are done at the end of this book, and that's where they're ending it.
Do they know the end of the book yet?
Yeah, no. I don't think they
do. Yeah, that's...
But who knows? Like, I just don't know. It's always up in the air with them. Because I don't think they really know themselves what they're doing until the last minute sometimes. But
yeah. Okay, so the next thing I got was that the estate of Wally Wood is trying to sue Marvel and Netflix to get him a credit on the Daredevil TV show. And then apparently there was not misquotes, but... some other creators had been, and Mark Waid was one, and there was a few others, I forget who, were kind of asked about their feelings on some of this, about an unrelated issue a year ago, and they're using the quote for this now, and I guess that's causing some flack.
What is, I'm not sure.
I have a couple problems with this.
Between Wally Wood and Daredevil.
Well, he created the red costume.
Okay.
He did a lot of stuff back. He was on it from issue...
What was it?
Seven, but it wasn't very long. It was like
six issues.
Yeah, because... couple problems with it. One, just, I'm a big Wally Wood fan, so don't take it for that. But Wally Wood died destitute. So where was his estate then? Where were his family then? So that jumped out at me as I'm like, who are these guys wanting money when...
Yeah.
He was living in a one-room, you know, nothing apartment and died because he got sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of made me mad. Second is, okay, so if you give him credit, what about Frank Miller, who the show is clearly based on?
Yeah.
So then you have to give him credit. Well, what about Gene Colan worked on, like, 200 issues of Daredevil? Do you give him credit? You know, at what point do you stop? But,
yeah.
I mean, at what point do you stop? You know, giving credit to, that's my only thing.
No, and that kind of where I'm at with it.
Do they credit, are there credits for Stan Lee on there
it's
right
now? It's
probably
Stan Lee and Bill Everett would
Bill
be
Everett.
My guess.
Well, Stan Lee, I think it's executive producer credit on everything that Marvel does. I think that's probably part of his contract.
Like Daredevil
and I'm sure really a lot of the credit and all that goes, whenever they write that, it's usually who straight out created him.
Yeah, that's
like
what I was thinking.
They're not going to go through, like,
ever,
you know, he created the red costume. And then
yeah, but I mean,
created,
I get what they're saying. I totally understand what they're saying.
Daredevil throughout the series.
But
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This gets a little out of control.
Yeah.
The next thing I got was that DC is going to be running half-page ads in their books.
No, that was on Bleeding Cool, but based on what? Maybe they are, but maybe they have a plan. Because if you look, like Convergence, I noticed the last couple issues have had all the ads in the back because they've been so many two-page spreads.
Spreads, yeah.
What if there's some plan to do long two-page spreads to do something? So yeah. That's why you get an ad of the bomb. I think there's a lot of jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Bleeding Cool said, oh, look, Kyle Rayner was decapitated. And it's like, oh, where?
Yeah, I didn't see that. I was wondering that myself.
Yeah,
so I think there's
that.
A lot of jumping to conclusions on there. And a lot of what he does is clickbait. You know, it's just trying to...
I assume this throat was slashed or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Not decapitated. But
yeah, but
really it,
even that
then.
You didn't see. So there's no reason nothing happened.
That may be interested for the book.
Yeah.
So really,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree. And I think Josh... I'm going to speak for Josh. He agrees too.
Speak for Josh, yeah.
I know how to work a pole.
Disney rocks.
And three little bits of movie news that are comic book related. First one that I read today was...
Mad Max was awesome. Sorry.
I didn't see it, so...
I saw it. Okay. I'm telling you, Mad Max was awesome. And there was a Mad Max Fury Road comic that's been coming out.
Oh, okay.
So, I sold out of the first one. And
he set that up.
That's
yeah.
It.
Was
oh,
like
I did. It was awesome. And, well, movie news. It was
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fox wants to reboot The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
It's been long enough.
The movie had nothing to do with the book. Well, not nothing, but very little.
The basic concept of it, and I think that's about it. I think there's only ever been two movies that I've fallen asleep in the middle of the movie. That was one, and Gods and Generals was the other one, and that was 4 hours long. So that's probably why.
Isn't that Russell Crowe movie?
No, it was the sequel to Gettysburg.
Okay.
It was really, really long. It wasn't that it was bad. It was just really long.
Oh, yeah.
And then two things casting news. The first one is that Tilda Swinton is supposedly being cast as the Ancient One in the Doctor Strange movie.
That's okay. I have no problem with that.
That's, you know, certainly different than what you would traditionally think.
Right, but if you remember in the Constantine movie with Keanu... I know you tried to forget it, but she was the Angel Gabriel.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was very, you didn't know what she was.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I have no problem with that.
I just always, you know, I thought Ken Watanabe was one of the other ones. That's kind of who I picture an older Asian guy, you know. And
right,
right.
I get it. But this way she can go toe-to-toe with Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
They're British accents.
But don't worry. They'll change it to the comics, so you don't have to worry.
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay, yeah.
Just get used to the comics.
What Doctor Strange comic?
Yeah.
God, there hasn't been one of those in a long time.
I've said for a while, like, if they need to put Hickman on anything, put him on a Doctor Strange book, see what he can do with it.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like his type of thing. They never do a Doctor Strange. It has been a long time.
There has
Maybe
to,
yeah,
years.
There has
been
to
years.
Be a Doctor Strange
yeah.
book coming down the pike.
Oh,
here.
You would
be,
think,
say,
yeah.
yeah.
And then the last one...
Do they have the rights to it? Sorry.
The rumor is that Chris Pine is being looked at to be Steve Trevor in the Wonder Woman movie.
Interesting.
I could see that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good casting right there.
You know, Captain Kirk and Wonder Woman, I could see that pairing. That would work.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I could see that. Did you see that the... I mean, this has been rumored for a while, movie-wise, but that Jaden Smith is...
Static Shock.
Very strongly now as Static Shock, which after that movie where... That sci-fi movie he was in, it's just like, I don't need to see him in a movie.
Well, yeah,
you liked him in Karate Kid, though, right?
I did not. Oh, God.
Nah. I'm much more of a Ralph Macchio Karate Kid kind of guy. Especially since... What he was doing was not karate, it was kung fu, which is...
Being that Jackie Chan is Chinese and not Japanese.
Yeah. You know, just kind of the whole thing. But that's... I mean, they haven't announced a Static Shock movie. They got, like, 9 movies in the pipeline.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't remember it being, like... But I saw Stan Lee's people posted on his Facebook about that yesterday, and then somebody else posted it. One of these comic news sites.
I thought that was odd about how this is. Jane Smith's going to be Static Shock when there's like no talk about a Static Shock movie
what's,
at all.
It's odd. Like, what's the interest in Static having a Static Shock anything? Like, why are
it's people, because
I mean, I
it's a younger character.
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
DC
and it's a minority.
Younger,
that's the and that's
a
the other thing.
Character. I don't think DC necessarily lacks minorities.
Well, no, but when you you're gonna have Cyborg.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, and now Will Smith is Deadshot, so maybe that's why.
Will Smith is Deadshot.
Yeah, ideally, and, you know, I'd like to see them do John Stewart as the Green Lantern for the movie.
I'd rather see that eventually. I mean, I'd
also
see a better Hal Jordan, so it gives us kind of better of a setup for the movie, but I'd rather see John Stewart. I'd always like John Stewart.
Unless they were going to use Sinestro at some point,
yeah.
I really don't care if they have Hal Jordan.
Yeah. You know what's sad about the Green Lantern movies? Though,
Mark Strong was great.
Mark Strong did a great job
as
Sinestro. It's just
like,
bring him back, because he did okay.
He did. That was
cool.
I mean, the ending where he's standing there and
he
know,
switches
the yellings,
rows,
and it's just like, ah.
Yeah.
And then everything else sucked. But yeah, so that's kind of where that's at.
No, but you're right. There are other minority characters that they're using.
I think they're stronger sometimes. Well, I mean, Marvel has theirs because Stan Lee was kind of adamant about having minority characters, you know, especially when
you're in New York.
It's hard not to. But DC has, especially, you know, one of your strongest characters is a woman.
Yeah.
You know, you do have, there's a lot of black characters, and I mean, you have a Martian on the team. I mean, you know, if you can't go minority, how many Martians are out there?
It was funny because I saw, I forget where it was, we were in Target or Kohl's the other day, and there was a DC shirt, and it had a whole bunch of characters on it. My wife's like, who is that? And it was El Dorado. And then another one, it was Samurai. She's like, who are they? I said, that was when they went diverse on the Super Friends cartoon. They just threw them on there. Him, Black Lightning, and
Vulcan.
Black Vulcan. And
Apache Chief.
Apache
Chief. That's who we were trying to think of the other day, Apache Chief.
And who isn't trying to think of Apache Chief?
Yenay Chalk.
That's all I think about.
Yeah, so that's news.
That's it, okay. Yeah, I can't really think of...
There wasn't a lot.
Too much, no. Too much. I've been, like I said again, I've been very distracted.
Not a lot was happening. So.
No.
Nobody was complaining. Rich Johnson wasn't upset.
I don't know if this is comics news, but I thought it was cool that Robert Rodriguez is going to make a Johnny Quest movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, I thought he was just in talks. I didn't know that
was in talks. He was in talks, but it sounds like...
Sounds more confirmed.
That could be a really... different take on Johnny Quest.
Well, that's the thing, because...
Is Machete going to be in it?
Well, that's
likely,
on one,
he's in every movie.
Antonio Banderas is going to be Rex Bannon.
And and it's just like, I have a feeling it's going to be a very...
Sort of Haji,
Latino.
It's going to be Chachi.
It's just going to be Cheech.
It's just... I'm not a big fan of Robert Rodriguez. Not at all. I mean, especially...
I like the Desperado movies.
The Desperado movies were good, but like... After that, it's like every movie he puts out is the Desperado movie or like a cheaper version of the Desperado movies.
Him and Tarantino.
Then he brought out those Spy Kid movies, and I was just like, these are a disaster. Like everything.
Yeah, he uses the same cast and everything.
Every movie.
Yeah.
Every movie. Even though it's weird because you see, like,
you know,
his name in Machete?
Yeah.
And then he's in Spy Kids.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of their friends. And it's just like, we remember the other one. But yeah, it just. You know, and I didn't like, he worked with Tarantino on those Grindhouse movies.
Yeah.
I didn't like those movies at all. I thought they were stupid.
Apparently he's a big Johnny Quest fan. He's been wanting to do this for years. So.
Hopefully, if he does it, like, if he's a fan and he does it, like, right? Because
does
I've
it
always,
as a fan.
I've always liked the Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
It was an awesome
cartoon. They created one in the 90s, early 90s, I believe, called New Adventures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was pretty good. It was done by Hanna-Barbera. So, it is... You know, kind of a fan base, but it's going to be tough because it hasn't been on for a while.
20 years,
So. Just to hear that theme, I think it's one of the coolest theme songs
in
history. So just to hear that in a movie theater would be cool.
It is. It's a very cool theme. And he has a lot of villains and stuff like that.
Lizard Men. What else do you want?
It's very much its
time. Yeah, but so did, Land of the Lost. That didn't do too well.
Grace Bannon always found a barrel to throw somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You watched a lot more Johnny Quest than I did. Huh? It was funny, though. I noticed he was on the last Scooby-Doo team-up. It was Scooby-Doo and Johnny Quest. I'm like, wow, this is for the parents. The kids have no idea what this is.
Going on. Maybe they're trying to,
but maybe they are. Yeah, maybe they are. Because I mean, he's got Bandit. It's fun.
I was surprised. Like, Cartoon Network is mainly owned by Hanna-Barbera. Like,
I think
Cartoon Network owns Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. It's all Time Warner.
Yeah, and I'm surprised we haven't had, you know, a TV show. We get all these cheesy comedy cartoons that are just
Boomerang
awful,
used to show them all the time.
Like action cartoons anymore.
Those are tough sells, I guess.
Well, they don't want to put stuff out there that seems too violent. Everything's just a little too liberal.
I know that show
anymore.
Is violent, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's too, you know, anything with guns, anything with that. Everything has to be a comedy.
Yeah, they had real guns. How'd they get away with that?
That's why kids are screwed up anymore. They don't have enough.
That's right. They weren't. Yeah, they weren't
desensitized. They don't know Cobra Commander is the bad guy, and, you know, they can't tell the difference.
Yeah, but then they get confused, and Starscream sounds just like
Cobra Commander. It sounds like that, Colin doesn't like this conversation.
My mind's all over the place. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I just know when we get into cartoon talk, he's just like, I hate this.
I'm all over the place. Don't worry about me.
Good.
We don't.
But who knows? They might make something interesting.
Yeah.
You never know when they create. I mean, cartoon movies don't seem to do very well, though. Like, especially Hanna-Barbera. They come out like Scooby-Doo. Yeah. No, Scooby-Doo didn't do well. And then they brought out a Yogi Bear.
They did, like, four Scooby-Doo movies, so it did well enough to...
It did well enough with kids, I think. And Scooby-Doo does, but they brought out Yogi Bear, and Dan Aykroyd did his voice.
Yeah, they had a Yogi Bear.
And it didn't do very well, and Smurfs seemed to do really well with kids, so...
Yeah.
But this is very different from Smurfs. This is the action genre, and then that's the more, you know... So who knows?
It'll be an R-rated, gritty version of...
That's what we need.
Johnny Quest. That'd be pretty good. Have the Blue Falcon show up at the end.
Try to figure out who you would cast for characters. Not the young ones, but like Dr. Quest.
I'd set it in the 60s, too.
I would, too.
Yeah.
I would, too. I doubt they will. But, you know how it is, because they'll try to modernize it.
Yeah.
Well, depending upon the age.
Yeah.
You know.
Depending on the demographic they're going for, they could. But... If they're trying to reintroduce the character into a modern age, then they have to put him in a modern setting. Because then kids, as Colin was saying, you bring out the book, and this is for the adults, not necessarily the kids. So.
But the other problem with that is child actors, for the most part, suck. So you don't want to make them young. You know, you don't want another Jake Lloyd situation.
Oh,
because this is the main character of the movie. You need someone that can carry the movie. So you might want to make them a little bit older.
They'll put one of these, like, Nickelodeon Disney Channel kids in the movie. I'll be like, I'm done.
It's the sweet life of Johnny Quest.
Yeah, the Sprouse kids. I think those kids are too old now, but...
Yeah, thank goodness.
Who knows?
What's Draco Malfoy doing? He could actually carry the movie.
He's like Planet of the Apes.
I know.
That was good. He did a good job in that.
You know what? It was funny, because I didn't even know what I was watching, but I saw him, and then Stryker from X-Men 2 was in it,
too.
Yeah,
he was.
And as soon as I saw him, too, in it, I'm like, I don't need to know anything else about this movie. I'm rooting for the monkeys.
Yeah, rooting for the monkeys on that. Actually, well, it's that scene when, like, Draco says, like, the kid, whoever he is, he says something. He's about ready to hit him.
No!
And then he's like, ooh! And you're just, like, it's one of these moments, because you weren't really expecting him to say anything. You should have been, but that may be why it was so good, because you weren't. It just kind of, he said it, and you were just like...
I just finally saw the second one. It was on HBO on Saturday.
It was good.
It was depressing. Like, it wasn't, but it was. It was like... This is kind of messed up. And the more messed up part is the whole time I'm rooting for the monkeys.
Yeah. Which side of them? There's two sides.
Not Koba,
for the good monkeys.
Yeah. I want Maurice to start, like, wailing.
You realize we're calling them monkeys, and that's what they're upset about to begin with.
Okay. Chimps. Apes not kill apes.
Okay. It's better. We got to be politically
correct. Apes together strong.
This podcast.
Great, we lost the monkey down.
We lost the monkey. They're not monkeys. We've lost the apes by now. We've lost them, Colin. You're ape listeners. Don't worry, we got a box of bananas.
Wasn't the first logo you made a giant gorilla hand?
Yes. That was Gorilla Bob.
That was Gorilla Bob.
Oh, God, we can't lose that demographic.
If anybody's still listening, what did everybody read lately? Are you doing Convergence? You're not doing Convergence.
No.
Okay. I know the three of us have read it, so maybe we'll get to that right at the very end.
Yeah.
That'll be spoilers.
Yeah, with lots of spoilers and a siren and flashing lights.
Which is really difficult to do on a podcast, but we'll figure it out.
The siren will be fine.
You'll see. I have a plan.
Yeah, the siren.
I have a plan. So, okay, I'll start because I only really read one book, which I do feel bad about, but I've been distracted. I read A-Force.
A-Force.
It was good. You know, it definitely tied into the main Secret Wars branding and storyline. Basically, it's Arcadia, I think it is. I hope it is. It's like an island nation, and it's run... She-Hulk is the... What are they called? Ambassadors or...
Barons?
Something like... Yeah, that
barons.
Might be a baron of that property. And it's where all the female heroes are. Or there's a lot of female heroes. I don't want to say all of them. I remember I saw Luke Cage. You saw Namor was there. But basically, they get attacked by this giant shark that shoots laser beams. it does. It shot a laser beam out of its mouth. I'm like, oh, my God. Dr. Evil would be so excited. But it, like, attacked somebody and made this one new character, America, very angry. And so she grabbed the shark and threw it. But unfortunately, when she threw it, it hit the wall that is part of the bad place. And then it went over the wall into the Marvel Zombies area.
She's not the character from the Young Avengers that they did. Early on Marvel Now had a Young Avengers series, and there was a girl, Captain America.
I don't remember a girl. There was a boy, the Patriot, on you.
No, yeah, he wasn't Patriot. Part of the team anymore.
Okay.
And there was this girl. All she wore was like a jacket.
That's all this one had, so maybe it was her. I wasn't real familiar with her. I know there was one of the Runaways was in it, the Niku whatever. But so she did that. So, of course, then Doctor Strange shows up and says, you violated Doom's Law. You have to come with us. And that was about it.
Because
she destroyed
threw something
wall.
Against the wall.
She damaged the wall.
Which, if you damage the wall, then anything from the side they're trying to
right.
keep
can
away
get through.
Comes through.
She didn't need no education.
Right. But it was funny. When she threw it, everybody's like, oh, no, what'd you do? Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it wasn't bad. It definitely tied in with the main story. Whereas, like I read for this week, I read the Where Monsters Dwell. And I don't know how that really tied in much with Secret Wars. It was a neat story. I enjoyed it because it was written by Ennis and drawn by Russ Braun, who did a long run on The Boys. And I also read Old Man Logan that didn't really tie in with it at all until the end. And then it kind of tied in kind of neat. Bendis did a good job with that one. Although it was a $4.99 book that I felt there was about... It started off with about 10 pages of padding.
Okay.
Like a lot of action sequences that just kind of were stretched. Real nice Andrea Sorrentino art, but... And it was funny, there was one character... If you read I, Vampire, there was a character in it who looked exactly like the girl from I, Vampire. So I wonder if he used the same model.
The redheaded girl,
the one,
the bad vampire? Well,
no, not that one. The other one. The girl that they were with like near the end.
Yeah,
so it was just kind of funny. I'm like, gosh, she looks very familiar. But... So, yeah, it's interesting to see how they play this out, how close the books tie in, and how they really...
Some
they
of them, they're just out there just so they have books. And that's, it's kind of, doing like a Marvel event, or any event, really, it's kind of picking and choosing sometimes because some books you're going to be like, this isn't going to be that important.
Yeah.
Where this might be. And that's, you know, how I've always kind of picked Marvel events, especially like if there's something like when Civil War came out, I said, well, Avengers is going to be important.
Yeah.
So if I'm reading Avengers, I'm reading Civil War, I read the Frontline book. That was good. You know, I got a lot of the story. So it's kind of, that's how it is with this. That's all you read.
That's all I really read.
Well,
yeah.
I can go. I read, I guess we'll just talk about some of the Convergence. We don't have to go into a lot of them.
Okay.
Unless you want to. I mean, whatever you have, like, is fine.
Yeah, just I mean, I didn't...
Not go through the whole pile, because we want to get it.
Yeah, I didn't read all of them, but
Josh
I read.
Anyway.
But some of them you might have read that I read. One of my favorite Convergence books, just because of the ending. Two of them had really good endings, and you read this book as well. One was Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing had a really good ending. And it had, Colin pointed out some, things like... You know, he's going up against a bunch of vampires, and what can he do? Well, he can
turn into garlic
or turn into oak steaks.
Yeah.
So he's good, but It had an ending, and I'm going to talk about that with Flash, which was my second favorite title from this tie-in from Convergence. It had an ending which wasn't really, like, the bad guy, his opponent, not necessarily a bad guy, gave up because he assumed his Earth wasn't worth saving. It was a very different kind of ending.
Yeah, until the end.
It's kind of like how the Swamp Thing was, too.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said Flash.
No, I was explaining. They both had that kind of idea, which I'll talk about Flash. But it had, you know, the Batman of that world was trying to rid the world of vampires anyway. So he assumed, you know, well, it's already pretty well taken over by vampires. There's not much I can do, but either just let it go and sacrifice myself. And that's what he did. And he saved their world in doing so.
Yeah.
Just, it was different. It just, that's the kind of ending I was kind of looking for. Not necessarily, you know, not to say that the guy in the book is the good guy and the bad guy is always going to be his opponent.
No, and it wasn't. It was, you know, and that wasn't the only one like that. Superboy kind of did the same thing with Superman.
Superboy was like that. Superboy was kind of the opposite. You weren't rooting for Superboy at all in that book.
No one roots for Superboy.
No, especially not that Superboy. Yeah. But it was good. It was a really good book. Flash had the same feeling, and it had to be my favorite of all of them, because in Flash, you were his opponent was Tangent Superman.
Yes,
and they were basically fighting at a standstill, which I thought was interesting because, like, Superman didn't want to fight him.
Yeah, no, he's like, in another reality, we would be allies.
We would be allies. Yeah. And he didn't want to fight. He wanted to put his forces together and fight. And Flash was a little uncertain about him. So he kind of tried to attack him, but then he stopped because in that, Tangent Superman says he's able to look into him and figure out that there's going to be a crisis to the multiverse.
Yeah.
And in order for everything to work out how it is, he needs the lift.
Yeah.
So in order to save the multiverse, he has to sacrifice his world.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gives up. And I was just like, that's pretty deep ending for this. I wasn't expecting that much out of a tie-in of this, because not all of them have been that great. They've been kind of fillers or something to read.
Yeah.
That had a pretty deep ending for a book. So I really do recommend this, Flash and Swamp Thing, as books. The other book I read was from the Secret Wars stuff. It's Ultimate End.
Okay.
Not great. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. I'm still a little confused on what was going on exactly, but their world, where these characters that we're introduced to in this book are on the section called Manhattan, and they're in the Ultimate side.
Okay, yeah.
But it's not all Ultimate characters. We found in this book is Spider-Man from 616.
Peter Parker?
Yes.
Okay.
Two Iron Mans, Superior and the Ultimate. Two Hawkeyes, which are the same. Just a bunch of like characters. Ultimate Nick Fury. And it seemed like they knew life before the Earth smashing together, before Doom creates this. And they're trying to basically figure out how to go up against Doom. But they can't let him know too much about what's going on. And then at the end of this, they kind of figure it out. But just, it was odd because, like, well, you know, in Secret Wars, you saw Spider-Man where he is. You know, he was on the raft. There were certain characters that were on that. And then all of a sudden, they're here. It starts out there, they're here, and then they're going up against Doom, so you're not too sure. Do they know? Do they not know of what's going on? Like, do they remember life before? It was kind of difficult. It needed a little more introduction. It needed more something. Maybe they can, how he's writing it, they'll give it to us a little later, but for a first issue, it didn't sell as good to somebody wanting to know is this about the Ultimate Universe. It really didn't feel like the Ultimate Universe, being that it was a mixture of both. So not the greatest, not what I was expecting, but we'll have to see. But that's it.
Okay. Shaft. Now, one bad thing about this, that was the end of the series, which I didn't realize.
Oh, was it?
I didn't realize it was a 6-issue mini. I thought it was an ongoing.
Yeah, they don't always tell us.
But it was good. It ended, you know, it resolved and tied up all the loose ends. He's a bad mother.
He said it was bad.
Well, that writer's now going on to write Cyborg for DC.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's, you know, actually, reading Shaft is part of the reason why I'll pick up Cyborg, because I like the way he wrote, and so, you know, obviously they're very different characters, but, you know, I like the story he told, so, you know, we'll see what he does with Cyborg. It wraps up, you know, he was kind of playing all sides to solve the murder of his girlfriend, and then, you know, come to find out his girlfriend's friend had pictures of, you know, incriminating people, with prostitutes and things of that nature. And essentially what this was really all about in the end was they were building the original World Trade Center. And, you know, it was about getting, you know, minority construction companies, keeping them out of the bidding process, so, like, you know, the mob can control it and things like that. So in the end, you know, Shaft kind of blackmails them into, no, I don't care what the contract is, you know, some brothers are going to get it. And that's kind of where they left it. Like I said, it was a decent series. I was a little surprised that it ended. You know, I don't know how it sell, you know,
okay,
other places. You know, here, I don't necessarily think Pittsburgh is the target market, especially not, you know, this area. But, you know, it was a decent book. Deadpool Secret War.
Genius.
Absolute genius. What they did was they inserted Deadpool into 1984 Secret War. And, you know, hilarity ensues. But it was, you know, it's a typical Deadpool book. It was funny. I don't know how well it ties into the regular Secret War, you know, the current Secret Wars. I don't think it does.
You're not reading the main book?
No, I am reading the main book, but nothing in there tied into that. Yeah. So that's why I was like, eh, okay.
I read the preview of it when they had it, the Free Comic Book Day.
Okay. But, you know, it's a Deadpool book. If you like it, then, you know, fine. Uncanny X-Men, which was it's the penultimate issue of Bendis' run.
Oh.
Until 600 is delayed until October. So
remember what's going on until then.
Yeah, exactly. So Dazzler goes to capture Mystique because, you know, it's not a good X-Men book if it doesn't have Dazzler in it. And she does capture Mystique and then turns her over to S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's the liaison for S.H.I.E.L.D., isn't she?
She is, and then she left,
okay,
and now she's back. Now she's punk rock Dazzler.
Oh.
She's not disco Dazzler, punk rock.
She's a little light on the themes of every decade.
Yeah, out of, yeah. And so, you know, in 20 years, she'll be hip-hop Dazzler,
yeah,
and then,
when everybody's at the Star Wars bubble opera.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Prequels.
But then, you know, the new X-Men, the X-Men that started with Scott at the beginning of the Uncanny, not the new X-Men, which were the old X-Men brought back in time, but the new kids, were basically, yeah, trying to decide, you know,
Brian Michael Bendis.
You know, their thought process was, well, we have to be X-Men, and then they kind of come to the realization, no, we don't.
Yeah.
And that's where it's left off. You know, they have to make that decision if they're going to stay with the X-Men or if they're going to go. And it's really the, you know, the Jean Grey school. So there was that. The Convergence stuff, you know, we talked about most of it.
The main Convergence book left off on a really interesting ending that made you go, how are they going to wrap this up in one issue?
Yeah,
it did. Because it just took so long to get there.
It did, but I thought we were going to talk about that last.
We will. No, I'm saying that was seven.
Okay. He's talking
about yeah.
Seven had a big cliffhanger ending on it.
It did.
That was all. Sorry.
Call.
I didn't go into eight.
No, well, no, but I, you know, they kind of dovetail. Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
No.
But I thought we should. So okay, the two things I want to talk about the other Convergence books because I agree mostly with what you said. Yeah, I know, shocking, but not those books. Actually, two of the 8-page previews, Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, I did check that one.
That has some interesting possibilities with the white. Martians.
Yeah.
Now, I guess this is only like the third Martian Manhunter series, but I'm used to like at least you know the cartoon versions they had. We knew that there were white Martians
out there, and
it seems like you know it would be known. But even like the little preview blurb they have at the beginning is you know he's always said he was the last Martian. Now we find out he's not. Well,
they kind of said he was lying. Like he knew.
Yeah.
That there was more. He just didn't want to say.
Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting setup.
Yeah.
And then the next one was Batman Beyond, that was in Batman and the Outsiders.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that. But go ahead.
So it's Tim Drake.
Yeah.
You know, he's wandering around the timeline, which is not his. And,
it's kind of where they left you off.
Right. That's where, you know, it leaves you off at the end of Future's End. Well, the first person he runs into is Matt McGinnis, who is Terry's brother.
His little brother, yeah.
Well, he automatically assumes it's Terry. Yeah. And then, you know, Tim has to, you know, kind of explain to him what happened to Terry at the end of Future's End.
Yeah.
And it actually, you know, because it's Brother Eye and, you know, they're the Resistance, it gives off a very Terminator feel.
Yeah.
So picture Terminator with Batman.
Yeah.
So the concept of it is really interesting. And like one of the things he brought up is, you know, there's kind of the undesirables that they're weak and sick and they're all over in the pile.
Yeah.
So Brother Eye doesn't want to assimilate them. But those people need help, and I guess one of them is Max, who was Terry's.
His friend.
It wasn't really his girlfriend, but she was like,
she was
his Robin,
techie. Kind of, like
yeah.
She always wanted to in the series. She always wanted to be Robin.
Yeah,
he always made the joke that she was Alfred.
Yeah, but her personality was more like Alfred anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that it leaves off, you know, with him agreeing. Yeah, let's go help these people.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting setup for the book,
because
I didn't think I'd like when he went. I was very disappointed with the ending of Future's End.
Yeah, it's because they didn't necessarily want to end it. But I think the problem is sometimes you just have to do some sort of ending. I think it was too abrupt, of like it's over, but it isn't. You know, you were left with because it was going to tie into this.
Yeah, I just think, you know, when you go through a 46 issue,
you want more.
Give me
that.
A satisfying ending that you can still spin out of, which I'd have been okay, you know, because especially now, you know, you had Convergence and what happened.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of things, but still give a satisfying ending. So I would have appreciated that.
The thing about the Batman Beyond stuff, and like I'm a little disappointed that the more Bruce Timm like series is over. And we're getting this replaced.
Yeah.
But in another way, I get why they're doing that. Because if, let's say you weren't interested, like, I'm sure Colin never really watched the cartoons.
I just watched the cartoons a couple years ago.
Well, he wouldn't be as interested because he doesn't understand the characters. Something not to jump into. But
this,
he did read Future's End. So it might be more of a thing for somebody like that to get into.
Yeah.
So I think it opens the door to more people. The people who were used to the cartoon, they know the character, and then the people that didn't. I think now you've opened it up a little bit to other people.
Yeah, I mean, it creates some more paradoxes with Tim Drake being in the future and not being. And it, what it almost does is it sets in stone that in 5 years' time, Brother Eye has to take over at least the new 52 universe.
Yeah.
know, Convergence kind of has its own spin on it. It's not to say something else couldn't happen, but, you know, by setting it where they did, it kind of locked some stuff into place.
Yeah. I'm interested. I'll pick it up and see what it is.
Like I said, Batman and Terminator, mash them together.
Yeah, those are two good things.
Yeah. Dave?
I read Archie versus Predator, number 2.
How's that?
Who thought this would make it to an issue 2 when you heard the title?
This
Jughead don't have time to bleed.
This is the craziest, most messed up book I've read.
It's even more messed up than Afterlife
with Archie.
Oh my goodness. This is not for kids.
Is this an... Okay.
I saw the first one where there's like a body hanging from a tree and there's like blood just dripping from it.
Yeah, skin. Yeah. Is this an Archie book or is it an IDW book?
It's published by Dark Horse.
Oh, okay. Or Dark Horse.
And it's drawn in the Archie...
style?
House style, yeah. Which makes it more terrifying in some ways. The gangs returned from their vacation in... somewhere in South America, and of course, Predator stowed away and follows them back to Riverdale. And they're all in the chocolate shop. And on the second page, Pop gets his head blown off.
Oh no! Not Pop.
Yeah, Pop Tate gets his head blown off.
So this is kind of worse. You think the art was Afterlife with Archie was Archie's art like style?
But here's the thing, you know, I never once thought I would read an Archie comic. I'm reading two now, and what Dave's describing is making me want to pick up a third.
The other ones, yeah.
Well,
now I'm kind of interested.
The gang scatters. The police come. Betty and Veronica. They decide to go.
The Riverdale police.
Yeah, the Riverdale police. Betty and Veronica decide to go get Sabrina to see if she can do something and try to. They want her to cast a spell, and she says, "I'll try this one for." It's supposed to be used for zombies, but whoever sees zombies in real life? And then, get ready for this, because then the Predator attacks Sabrina, pulls her head and her spine out of her body.
Oh man, it goes all Johnny Cage on you.
Oh, then I had to put the book down.
It was too much.
And gather myself.
You're like Riverdale.
And then when I picked the book back up, he kills Salem, the cat.
Oh.
What are you going to kill the cat?
He was talking too much.
So, So back with the other people, Kevin Keller's dad, who's an army general, he gives the spiel that he knows all about the Predators, and it's classified information. So, of course, he arms... all the guys, Archie and Reggie and Chuck, with heavy artillery, and there's a big shootout with the Predator.
I just see Moose in a tank.
Yeah, all right.
Moose brings a squirt gun, actually.
A squirt gun.
Come on, Moose. Moose.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, they just say, that's not going to work, Moose.
Moose.
And Chuck gets his leg blown off.
Oh, man.
And this is all Archie-style drawing.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, still copies of one.
I should.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to pick this up. Brutality in cartoon world.
That's scary.
And, okay, second one is Bloodshot Reborn.
This was a happy, fun book.
I know. This
they
was
went to the malt shop.
Seriously.
Changed it up.
This was a lot more lighthearted than the Archie versus Predator.
That something would happen to Mr. Lodge. Never like Mr. Lodge.
It's not very nice.
Like his house. Predator's just going to blow up his house.
Hey, maybe the third issue.
Worth it.
Predator in the Lodge Mansion. Yeah, Bloodshot. This is a really good book. And Bloodshot lost... Right, he's posing as this guy, Ray Garrison, who's a maintenance worker at a Colorado... hotel or motel, and in the last issue there was a killing spree at a movie theater by a guy who looks like Bloodshot, so he's like, oh, what's going on, I have to investigate, and he has Bloodsquirt, who's, I don't know, a figment of his imagination or something, his little buddy, who's Jeff Lemire.
You guys were talking about that.
Jet is Batmite.
It's his Batmite, right. and Jeff Lemire just draws Blood Squirt in his style. And the rest of the rest of the style is very, really nice, really realistic, very realistic. And so, in the course of the issue, the first Bloodshot, you know, tracks down this guy, and of course, chops his head off. But then, and he could feel the nanites are in this guy. He could feel them going back into him, so he could be Bloodshot again. But then, then in the news, there's another mass shooting of a guy who looks like Bloodshot. Huh. So he's like wondering what the heck's going on. I'm sure Josh will talk about this when he comes back, too, when he gets that. But yeah, it's very interesting. Really, a different kind of book with the Blood Squirt character and everything. So at Insufferable, number one, by Mark Waid and Peter Krause. This was originally on Mark Waid's Thrillbent website, Thrillbent Digital Comics website. And it's kind of they transferred it to comics.
Okay.
Which I'll get to in a second. But it's about a pair of heroes, a father and a son. And the son is insufferable. The father is Nocturnus. The son is Galahad, and they have a falling out. And Galahad, it's easy to tell it's a takeoff on Batman and Robin, because Galahad's dressed in bright red, and Nocturnus kind of looks like Batman. They have a falling out, which we're going to learn more about. And Galahad. Takes credit for some of the hero missions that Nocturnus does. And you see after they go and fight somebody on their own missions, you know, they show Nocturnus taking painkillers and taking a shower while Galahad's, you know, in the hot tub with the ladies. And It's interesting, and it's gone on a long time on Thrillbrand. So I don't like, the one thing I don't like is the transition from the digital to the printed page isn't very smooth, because it's all, every page is the same. There's like a white gutter,
okay,
in the middle of every page.
Gotcha.
And it'd be nice. There's no one page spreads or two page spreads or anything. And talk about Star Wars number 5, since Adam has his Millennium Falcon shirt on.
Is that why you're talking about?
That's why, because there's probably no other reason to talk about it.
Well, you could have said because he has the same slack-jawed look on his face that Han Solo had on the cover.
Yeah.
When I think about Star Wars, that book.
Did you read that?
Why am I here?
No, I haven't got a chance, but you can talk about
it. Okay. Yeah, it's still not doing anything for me. Luke.
And I was kind of lost by my book after.
Luke and R2 are travel to Tatooine, to Ben's, Obi-Wan Kenobi's house, to try to find some clues about Luke's past and his past. And Boba Fett is hired by Darth Vader to track Luke. So of course we get the Boba Fett in.
Oh, that's how you tie it in though to the holiday special where he made a
That's what they're going for.
Maybe that's what it was.
Marvel's
totally
like, what's the most popular thing we could tie this into?
Yeah.
That's actually the only part of that holiday special that was watchable.
So you see Boba Fett in the cantina.
Yeah.
You know, torturing some guys for information if anybody's seen Luke.
But then that gets to the point where Boba Fett is, like, too early for them to know him. Like, they shouldn't have known who Boba Fett was.
No, because it's still considered canon, Boba Fett catches up with him and Han. I forget the name of the book. When he talks to Leia, when Han talks to Leia when they're in the Millennium Falcon and Empire Strikes Back about what happened, I think it's Ord Mandel. That incident was when Boba Fett captured them in the holiday special cartoon, but that's where that came from. So my guess is he's going to track him to Ord Mandel, and that's where they'll eventually get to, assuming they're still going to keep it in canon, but my understanding was that stayed in canon because it was made by Lucas, even though, with the exception of that cartoon, everything else was horrible.
Oh, okay. I don't get him.
Chewbacca had a son named Itchy.
Scratchy.
No, just Itchy.
Just Itchy. What's the point, though?
Yeah.
There's just scenes in the book that are lifted, you know, right from the movies. I mean, there's a scene with
the sand people.
Sand people, you know, with the stick over his head, you know, like in A New Hope, and then Leia and Han are together, and they're playing the whole, you know, you don't want me to leave your highnessness, you know, you love me too much, you don't want me to leave the rebellion. And we've just seen it all before.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about. I don't remember if I talked about this on the podcast last week or before it, or Josh was here, I don't remember, but like, it seems like the book that of the character that we didn't really know what was happening with him because we weren't following him was Darth Vader. And with Darth Vader, like, you're open to tell things that happened while Luke and Leia and Han were doing what they were doing. What was Darth Vader doing?
Right,
it gives you something to open up with.
Right, because he doesn't even talk about what went on between the point where his ship spun out of control until he shows up in Empire.
Yeah, he could have been doing whatever. I mean, he could be doing whatever whenever we don't see him on screen. And
yeah, because he doesn't talk about it.
Or not Darth Vader. So that book works. Maybe, and I was thinking that maybe with Lando it might work, but how much happens on Cloud City? I don't know. All I know is what happens on Cloud City stays on Cloud City. You know?
Well, yeah, but you know, you can also go back to what he was, you know, when he won Cloud City, and you know, and all.
You could go tell more about his story,
or even, you know, when he had the Millennium Falcon before he, you know, he lost it to Han. Yeah. There's a lot you can do with him.
Yeah, but I think with this book, I think we've seen it, we know it, we've watched the movie as well. And not only that, it doesn't help that Jason Aaron is writing it almost like a fan fiction.
That's what it feels like he needs to put in, you know, he has to tell you
throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I've seen Star Wars.
I've seen Star Wars too. They said this about Womp Rats, you know, that's what I'm getting when reading it. I'm just like, okay, I get it. This isn't why I picked up your big Star Wars book. I picked it up because I wanted to read a good Star Wars story.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him write Southern Bastards. Let's get that.
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's one thing I don't understand. Why is he doing that with Southern Bastards where he has freedom? Maybe Marvel is, you know.
Well,
I don't think, because I'm not seeing that with the other books. You know, Darth Vader, I thought the last issue of Darth Vader was really good.
Oh, yeah. Darth Vader's been really good.
And I think of all the Star Wars books, that's the one that I want to read.
Yeah, it's the best one by far.
Yeah, and then who knows when these movies come out? Who knows what the Star Wars book is going to be? Is it going to be about that more, or are they just going to create a new book, a brand new Star Wars book dealing with that?
Well, there's a book coming out in the fall by, I think, Greg Rucka that's going to be a lead up to Force Awakens.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get, and that might be interesting, a prequel for that.
I mean, everybody wants to see what happens after Return of the Jedi, I'm sure. That's what I want to see.
I don't.
You want to left alone? You want the war to end?
No, it's not that. I don't want to know what's...
You were a space hippie.
They're going to screw it up by telling you what happened in between the two. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, and part of the reason for that was
I don't really like the Marvel movie prequels anyway. So
no.
I don't know if anybody does. I don't know why they keep making them. Do they sell well for you, movie prequels? So what's the point?
It must just to have something in the store when the book or when the movie comes out.
I guess if they should stop wasting their time on that, bring out the origin stories of like Daredevil. You know, reprint that while the show was popular. But
Well, and my other thing with that was they had the Thrawn trilogy that Timothy Zahn had written years ago.
Yeah.
That was really good, and that took place.
Heir to the Empire?
Yeah, Heir to the Empire. Yeah. I forget what the second one was, and then The Last Command. And that took place 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So they were just establishing the New Republic and all that, whereas by staging these movies 30 years or 25 years or however many years they're putting them after that, it's kind of like they're giving themselves a window. Oh, now we have 20 years worth of stories to tell.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake because you're not going to get it. You're not going to capture the lightning in the bottle that way. It's not going to be good. Whereas if you would have given yourself a smaller window, it would have worked better. Uh-huh. Or if you just say, okay, we're going to set this 25 years, don't worry about what happened. It doesn't matter. You know, you can say, we've been in constant civil war since then.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to see every battle. It's not really important.
Exactly. It just, I don't know. I feel like that Darth Vader's been decent. Really, well, really good. And then the one about the
Kenan, the last,
yeah. That was interesting. It, because, again, it's something that we don't necessarily know about, so why not? It's original.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like I'm looking for in a Star Wars book.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
the
I
same
agree.
Thing I've seen.
Yeah, I agree.
So, those are books that...
Okay. So, Convergence 8.
Convergence 8.
This changes everything.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Ba-doo, 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 ba-doo.
That's your siren?
Flashing hands.
Oh, that's just sad. I don't even want to do it anymore. That was a siren?
Yeah. You should have an air horn.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not awake, wake up now.
You know, like someone scored a goal. Just
hoping. I'm hoping the red team scores a goal.
Yeah, but they're playing.
As I'm looking down, I'm going,
they're
oh,
playing in Anaheim, aren't they?
No, in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to give away any of the details of the book. You know, how we got to the end.
There was a perceived they wrote themselves into a corner at the end of seven. And that
it looked like everything was ending.
Yes.
Yes, yes. It looked like the world was ending. There was that big stone guy that, I think, Adam, somebody found.
Yeah,
he was part of a Superman storyline.
Yeah, he's part of that Hell on Earth storyline.
Oh, okay. Is that where he came from?
Yeah, so, but he was right there on the cover, so I hadn't recognized him. But so he was on there. But yeah, all of a sudden, seven ends with like the universe coming, that planet coming into the universe, things going bad, this big... I don't know, it was almost like Infinity in the Marvel Universe or something.
Yeah.
One of those guys
yeah.
going, you know, this is the end of everything. So...
Because Parallax...
way it ends...
Up.
Yeah, yeah. Parallax at the end had killed Demios and released all the Time Master's energy that he had absorbed. So bad things going on. And then they realize there's only one way to save it, and they managed to save it. And... the end result, basically, is that all DC stories, worlds,
all continuities,
everything is still in existence pre-Crisis, pre-Zero Hour, pre-everything. So what it does is it now allows the writers to do whatever they want. If somebody wants to write a Flashpoint story, they can. Not just, and I thought they just bring back one world or something, but this just completely opens up. If you liked all these stories or any of these stories, there's a chance you might get to see
some
that
of
version of the character again. And there's no reason not to have, you know, some miniseries. I think, you know, a revisiting, you know, a Justice League Flashpoint miniseries might be interesting. You know, where you have, you know, that Wonder Woman and Aquaman wanting to kill each other and, you know, just some things like that or...
Well, I'd like to see, you know, Thomas Wayne chasing after, you know, Martha some more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, get deeper into that story.
Yeah.
I always wanted to see, I read the 52 weekly series.
Okay.
And I always wanted to see at the end of that series, Ralph and Sue Dibny.
Yeah, died.
Which you
died and became ghost detectives.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happened.
I always wanted to see that series.
Yeah. It was referenced in one of, like, Batman and the Outsiders or something, a book like that. There was somebody he kept talking to, and it turned out it was them as ghosts.
Oh.
I remember that. But, yeah, it's just, it really opens everything up. And whereas people complained at the beginning of New 52, oh, they got rid of my character, they got rid of all this. This is kind of just opening everything up, which makes sense. It's like seeing, you know, a band... all of a sudden can't play certain songs anymore because they came out with a new album. So now this lets them, you know, they can go and play. Hey, and even lets, you know, someone like, you know, Adam
Hughes. I like original Wally West.
Yeah, but Adam Hughes saying, hey, I really want to write a book about this character and this character. Okay, you know, you want to draw that? Okay, that'll sell.
Yeah.
You know, and everything's going to have to go based on its merit.
Yeah.
But it allows all these different things to happen. So I do like that.
Now, I guess in the book, basically, the cities were put back.
Yeah.
I'm going to say. So I guess if they'd have to go to an Earth of some sort, right?
It's essentially they all get put back into their own time
because
stream.
Their Earth never was destroyed.
Yes.
So, like, their Earth is still out there somewhere?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I guess it's
because of what happened in this.
Yes.
So, it has to be somewhere, like, in the 52 Earths.
Well, or maybe now there's
more
because
of
what happened.
I'd say
because of yeah, there's not necessarily just 52
yeah,
Earths.
So, yes. It's part of their multiverse.
Yeah.
So, those might be added to the
well, because, like
collection.
I said, so you have. We know Wally West exists.
Yeah.
But in this, Flash is able to stop the crisis without having to die. So if Flash never dies, Wally West never has to become Flash.
Yeah.
I mean, he might still be Kid Flash, but he never actually has to become Flash.
Yeah.
So,
that'd be cool. Kid Flash, we bring back the Teen Titans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without the bizarre weird one we have now. I mean, just with Impulse and Bunker and all that, you know, we can revisit.
Or
maybe, who knows?
Or even an older version of Wally West, who, you know, he's not really
like
Kid Flash. He's, you know, an adult Flash. Maybe he's still married to Linda Park. He has his kids, but he's not the Flash. Maybe he goes by some other title.
I don't want to see Arsenal missing the Armageddon.
I think this was a good way to open it up to more everybody.
Oh, yeah. There's. And
they also wrote themselves out of some corners where they were stuck where they couldn't tell any more stories with these characters. Well, now they can. Because certain things may have not happened. Or
yeah. Well, yeah, technically everybody's alive now. And
crossovers. You can start crossing over characters. I think it's just, I don't know. I like the ending, though. I really did. I don't want to talk about too much of the ending.
Yeah.
Spoil it that much. But it was good. Like, it had, and especially what I was saying, if you were a fan of the New 52 series, Earth 2.
It had a satisfying ending.
Yeah. It's kind of also an ending for your Earth 2 fans out there. So if you weren't picking this up and you were an Earth 2 fan, which seems kind of odd you wouldn't be, you should, because it kind of sums it up and gets you ready for the next book.
Yeah, for Earth 2 Society.
Yeah.
Although that, I get where the green came from, but. Where's the rest of the Parliament going to come from?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, how are they? Yeah. How's he doing that? But
although he did absorb all of them, so maybe he can.
Them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting book. I think. I hope it's. Who's writing that book? Do we know? Did they give a preview of that in any of the books?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
No, I haven't seen it. It's probably today. Yeah. Actually, it would have to be today, otherwise
it would
give
away
the ending.
Yeah, that's true. And we didn't get a We Are Robins preview, did we?
That's this week.
So that's this week, too. So I was waiting for that one, the Robin previews. So.
Son of Batman.
Yeah, that has
that,
to be.
That should be this week. There's a few. Although, I don't think they're doing a preview for Batman or Superman, because they were part of the Divergence.
Yeah, anything
main
part of Divergence
book.
Is already done. Because that was that all of
and,
that
and Justice
Divergence.
League was the third one.
Yeah.
So, Cyborg's another one. You know, curious to see how that's gonna.
But I'm excited for a lot of the stuff coming out, because there's a lot of interesting things coming out. I haven't been that excited since New 52.
It's kind of funny because I just did the previews, or I just did the order, because the order's due to Thursday. So if there's anything you want, please let me know. But I was just, I remember when looking through the previews the first time, reading the Marvel one, and not kind of still going, okay, where are we going here?
Yeah.
But reading the DC one and actually genuinely being excited about a lot of the DC books that are coming out.
I'm disappointed, though, that there's no Shazam book, but I don't want the Fawcett City Shazam. I want the New 52 Shazam,
the one that Jeff Johns created.
I want to see him.
The only thing I guess they're not doing that is because they tied him into the Justice League, so he seems to be always there, but it seems like it's odd how he's, like, part of the Justice League. He's also a little kid who's been adopted by a family. So, like, I'm wondering if his family's like, where is this kid, you know? Because he seems like he's always
He's not
there.
Adopted. He's a foster kid. Yeah. And a lot of them are just paychecks anyway.
Maybe they're
so
just like, whatever.
Like,
we got, like, 12 of them, you know, however many he has.
as long as he's there when CPS shows up so they can get their check, it's all I care about.
It's always worried. I don't know. But, I'd like to see us get that.
I think that could be a really cool book. So, Jeff Johns, I know you're listening.
But now hopefully they don't tell the Shazam story from Convergence, because that's not what we want.
No, I don't want the Fawcett City.
I mean,
it's fine.
It's fun for what it was, but not for...
I was disappointed with it. Not that it was bad, but it's... It was very much a throwback to the period it was originally from, and it's very corny by today's standards.
That's kind of the, So I'd like to see the one for that. But I think a lot of people are, actually.
Jeff Johns' take on Talkie Tawny.
Saw him with Tawny in there. He was at the zoo. It was just a tiger pacing.
Right, but...
What's he writing now? Just Justice League? Is that
it?
Although he has... Well, no, they took him off everything because of Darkseid War, I think. But that's shaping up to be very interesting.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued. And actually, I think that's next week. So let me get to next week's books.
Way to transition.
I'm the king. No, next week we start to get a lot of the new number ones, and we get a lot of more of the Secret Wars number ones. So I'm really looking forward to June just for a lot more excitement. DC, not that the Convergence hasn't been exciting, but it's been a little, done. Yeah.
It's been tedious. Yeah. It's been a lot to read.
So here's what we have next week. So we have Action number one. So all the DC regular ones are starting to come back. But we also have Airboy. That's one, I want to say Ron Mars is doing that at Image. They're doing a real big push on that one. We have Amazing Spider-Man 18.1. Yes.
Yeah.
No, the point ones have been good. It's the regular ones.
Maybe Spider-Man will do something.
Maybe. And then we also have Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number one. Archie 666, the last issue of Archie.
Oh, great.
Is going to descend into hell and Cthulhu.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Don't bring Cthulhu in or Alan Moore will get pissed.
Okay. Armor Wars number one's coming out. Batmite number one. Batman Beyond number one. Bizarro number one. And Broken World, which I believe is a Boom book.
See, that means next week's going to be an expensive week
it's
again.
Be a lot,
we have Covenant number one with Rob Liefeld.
Yes.
Yay.
We got the first batch of the DC promo things. I don't know if you heard about these, but we're getting Batman Beyond paper masks, Batmite temporary tattoos, and Darkseid versus Anti-Monitor posters. Dead Drop number two, that's a Valiant book. That's for Josh. Hey, Josh, hope you're having fun. Future Imperfect, a Secret Wars book. Giant Size Little Marvel, a Secret Wars book.
That's the Scotty Young.
Yeah. And then I'm just seeing here, we're also getting Green Arrow and Green Lantern. Also, the Joker variants are coming, so there's going to be a lot. I mean, my front rack is going to be a disaster. Groot number one. Imperium number five.
Who's writing Groot?
I don't know.
Groot.
Well, I do get the Groot variant, though. I am getting some of the Groot variants, because they're doing Gwen Stacy variants. So it's Groot.
I forgot about
that. I couldn't get many of them, but that was one
that's
I was able
while
to get.
Since that was still...
Imperium 5, that's a Valiant book. I just love this title. It was Johnny Viable and His Terse Friends, one shot. I just enjoyed that.
Okay.
Jupiter Circle number 3, Justice League 41. Let's see. Master of Kung Fu number 2, and I have more number 1s coming. So if you missed out on number 1, I have more coming. Midnighter number 1 is a new DC one. Let's see. Non-Player number 2, I think the book we've been waiting like 6 or 7 years for, is finally coming out.
Do you have copies of number 1?
I do, because they've done like third prints. So I do have those. Suppose I never looked at it, but it's like super detailed, really cool book, but number 2 just
never
came out. Omega Men number 1. Princess Leia number 4. We didn't get a Star Wars book this week, which is weird. That's been the first week since this all started.
I was going to say, because I got like 5 books out now.
Yeah, but we didn't get a one this week. So we got Princess Leia next week. Leia, jeez. Secret Wars number 3. People have been asking about that only because the first 2 shipped weekly, so people assumed it was a weekly. It's not. So number 3 is next week.
About time.
Starting to get more expensive in that. Star Wars number 6. So we're getting 2 Star Wars books next week.
Jeez. Oh, come on.
I didn't do it.
It has a different look on its face. Like...
And let's see, Wicked and Divine number 11. If you haven't been reading this, this is a really cool book. And it's neat because McKelvey and Gillen have bringing back Phonogram. It's on the back side of the previews with just a great cover. And then Star Wars, we have a Wonder Woman annual that I'm going to say slipped as well because it's weird to get an annual out of the blue like that.
Joshua.
We got Extinction Agenda, Secret Wars, and Years of Future Past Secret Wars. So a real big week.
Secret Wars, Star Wars. Yeah, that's why
Secret Wars, Star Wars. Yeah.
Secret Star Wars.
Secret Star Wars.
So lots of stuff. Well, I made it through the first period. No score, so I didn't miss anything. So we're going to call that a night, a little abbreviated one. I promise to be a little more, organized next week. I'm just, a little frazzled here thinking about all the stuff I need to do.
You're going to turn over a new leaf?
No, but I'm just thinking about everything I need to do.
That's the easiest podcast we've done. I
liked
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's do it that way.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. See ya.
Superhuman on these tracks that I flip, yeah.